Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're visiting with Kenneth Timmerman, colleague, a friend of many years, a very highly acclaimed and accomplished investigative reporter, author of myriad books and countless articles. He is known particularly for one most recently, Dark Forces, The Truth About What Happened in Benghazi, and he will be, I believe, well known for the one that is forthcoming, Deception, the making of the YouTube video Hillary and Obama blamed for Benghazi. And finish the thought, if you would, Ken, that you had about the fact that nobody had seen this YouTube video, and yet the administration did everything in their power to, well, I guess put it up in lights, is the Hollywood term for it. What was that about, and how did it fit into what they were trying to do in the way of damage control on Benghazi?
Well, here's the thing. A number of lawsuits by Judicial Watch and other organizations, we now have access to new documents, to emails, to transcripts of Hillary Clinton's discussions with foreign leaders at the time of the Benghazi attacks. And we know now, and I lay that out in great detail in the chronology of how this happened. We know absolutely that the State Department, that Hillary Clinton knew there was no relationship between the YouTube video and the Benghazi attacks. Zero, nothing, nada. And yet, they went out in public and lied to the public to focus attention on this YouTube video, The Innocence of Muslims, and to smear the people who were involved. I mean, part of my new book is really a human interest story about one of the actresses whose life was completely destroyed. She was identified by the Secretary of State and the President of the United States as being responsible for the deaths of four Americans. I mean, it was a pretty heavy thing. And they tried to kill this woman when she came to Washington, because by this point there was a jihadi cleric in Egypt who had issued a death threat, a fatwa, obligating Muslims, faithful Muslims, to kill her. Not suggesting that they might, obligating them, saying it is your duty to murder anybody involved with this film. But we know now from all the documents, Frank, it was a complete put-up job. They were trying to get the public to focus on something that fit their ideological agenda of having anti-blasphemy laws in this country. And that's another thing that I talk about in Deception.
The role, I trust you will also be exposing, of others in addition to the Secretary of State and the President, like Huma Abedin, the Secretary's right-hand gal, and Rashid Hussein, the President's envoy, as he called him, to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. These are people who have been deeply invested in the Islamist or Islamic supremacist agenda for a long time. And I fear that but for the kind of exposure that you're giving to it, we will allow this this process of subordinating our freedom of speech to, well, what some call political correctness, what I think of as you do, to go forward apace. It's a very frightening thought. So keep up this good work, my friend. Let me turn to one other topic with you, Ken. Egypt Air, you've been writing about how it came to be destroyed and what it might tell us about the kind of challenges we're facing from the infrastructure that the Muslim Brotherhood and so-called pre-violent jihadists have been putting into place here as well as elsewhere.
Well, one of the things that the French discovered, and they discovered this before Egypt Air, they discovered it after the Paris attacks in November of 2015, they found that there were something like 50 individuals who had access to the aircraft on the tarmac at the Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, the main airport in Paris. They discovered 50 of these individuals also had ties to terrorist groups, had ties to ISIS, and they pulled their security passes at that point. But what they started to look into was, oh, gosh, did we miss some more? Because early in their investigations of the Egypt Air flight, they really did focus in on the possibility that either a bomb was placed on the aircraft at Paris while it was in Paris on the stopover, or that somebody was on the aircraft who was able to either fire a weapon or something else because there was an attempt. So that's something that, you know, we've seen this in this country, in Minneapolis. they discovered that there was somebody, an individual who had family members who had volunteered for jihad, had access to the airport and to the aircraft at Minneapolis Airport. We don't know how many others because, again, the Obama administration has dismantled all those programs.
You know,
that's politically correct.
Anybody traveling through airports around this country, Ken Timmerman, can attest to the visible signs. And it's not to say that all Muslims are a problem, but those who basically embrace Sharia and are willing to, in the case of women notably, cover themselves from some cases head to toe, and in other cases men, you know, with their beards and so on, evincing a conformity with Sharia's dictates, that is a problem, it seems to me. So your reporting on this is really appreciated. Hey, Ken, lastly, let me turn to this question of Saddam Hussein and weapons of mass destruction. There is, as you know, now a renewed debate about whether it was advisable to go into Iraq or not. The Republican incipient nominee for the presidency, Donald Trump, has, you know, reminded us that that he felt there was no such evidence. What is your take on the truth about Saddam's programs and capabilities, and whether it was advisable, for that matter, to try to take him out?
Well, look, the media lied. And Donald Trump did not do his own investigation on this. So he basically repeated the lies in the media. And I am assuming that once he gets access to the intelligence, which the Bush administration had and never defended, by the way, they allowed the lies to be repeated and repeated and repeated by the media. I'm assuming that he will change his view on Saddam Hussein and his very active chemical weapons programs, his very active biological weapons programs, his very active nuclear weapons programs. People seem to forget that 5 years after the liberation of Iraq, the United States helped the Iraqi authorities to send to Canada a 500 tons of uranium that didn't exist because there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, right? 500 tons. It's spectacular the way that the media has you know, perpetrated this lie and pounded it into the American public. There were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Yes, there were, and we found them. We were finding them and kept on finding them year after year after year in Iraq.
And as you point out, Ken Timmerman, in some of your writing on the subject, even the now director of national intelligence acknowledged that there was evidence that the Iraqis were moving stuff into Syria shortly before the invasion. And there's some speculation that that included weapons of mass destruction programs. Do you think that the Islamic State has gotten access to some of that stuff and used it?
I think absolutely. And we've seen this on the ground. I remember in 2013 when President Obama blamed the Syrian government of using chemical weapons against its own people. Well, the evidence on the ground showed that it was probably ISIS that had mistakenly released chemical weapons agents. Look, ISIS is what, Frank? ISIS is the combination of radical jihadis, al-Qaeda-type folks, and the Ba'athist military intelligence stay-behind apparatus. I wrote about this 5 years ago. I had to write it as a fictional account called St. Peter's Bones. But that is what ISIS is all about. I have interviewed people who are very close to the stay behind network who admitted, absolutely. So you have the Ba'athist military establishment who know exactly where these caches of WMD material that they left behind are located, and they've given that to ISIS. I think it's just a matter of time before they pull all of that stuff together and use it more. There have been many reports of them using chlorine gas and other stuff in northern Iraq.
Yeah. We'll be following this closely, as I know will you. Kenneth Timmerman of the Foundation for Democracy in Iran, the author of all of these books, including, I'm glad you mentioned, one of my favorites, your novel, St. Peter's Bones. Ken, keep up the great work you do, my friend, and come back to us again very soon, if you would. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.